This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Some remodeling ahead.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. Change could soon be on the way for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Those are the two government-sponsored enterprises that own half of the nation's mortgages. They've been treading water since back in September when they were essentially taken over by Uncle Sam. But today, the White House will be looking at some new ideas for Fannie and Freddie. And Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live from our bureau in New York to talk about that. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Steve.
So what's the idea here?
Well, the Washington Post is reporting that it could be another one of these good bank, bad bank situations where you take the bad assets on the books of Fannie and Freddie and put them in the bad bank and therefore encourage private investment to come into the good bank so the good bank can buy up more mortgages and free banks to make loans.
And the bad bank, Jeremy, would be supported by the government.
Well, unless you want to support it, Steve. I don't think there are very many private investors who want to put money into the bad bank. But keep in mind, the government has already put itself at risk for several $100 billion when it comes to Fannie and Freddie. And the Fed has bought up about $1 trillion worth of their debt. So they've got to figure out some kind of solution going forward. Now, I will say we've heard about this good bank, bad bank thing before. They were going to do this, if you'll remember, with the toxic assets on the bank balance sheets back in the fall.
Right.
We've yet to actually see a model like this really materialize.
And we should point out that this is just one of the ideas in the mix.
Right. The White House tells the Washington Post this is just the early days of figuring out what to do with Fannie and Freddie. The other options include winding them down completely and also trying to nurse them back to the way they were before. Though I spoke with an analyst this morning who said to me, if we do that, we're just going to end up with a couple of unsustainable enterprises where the taxpayers are left holding the bag when things go south.
All right. Jeremy Hobson, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
We do appreciate it. The Bank of England held its key interest rate at 0.5% today. And the European Central Bank has just announced it will maintain its interest rate at an all-time low of 1%. The real focus is on Britain's decision to increase the amount of cash that it's pouring into the nation's economy. From London, Christopher Worth has more.
Economists sometimes boil this down to the government printing more money. What really happens is banks are able to purchase public and corporate bonds to increase the amount of money floating around in the economy. The Bank of England has already injected over $200 billion into the system. Now it's decided to increase that program by adding nearly $85 billion to its arsenal. The question now is it worth it? Andrew Clare is with London's Cass Business School. He says banks haven't been turning around and lending that money as much as officials would like, but says the UK's economy would be much worse off without it.
The reason why we're seeing green shoots is because we're pumping huge amounts of cash into the system. Interest rates are effectively at zero, and you're almost bound to get some sort of dead cat bounce in various sectors of the economy with that, in particular the housing market.
Clare says this so-called quantitative easing can't last forever. He says some hard decisions will eventually have to be made on raising interest rates to control inflation, which could cause those green shoots to wither. In London, this is Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
And European markets are higher right now. London and Paris, more than 1.25%. The German DAX up about 0.8% right now. Asian shares closed higher for the most part today. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P 500 lost about 0.3%, NASDAQ 0.5%, and the Dow was off about 39 points to close at 92.80. People buying stuff in July? Not so much. This morning, retailers are reporting anemic sales for the month as parents are thinking back-to-school bargains. Among the disappointments, Stage Stores and teen retailer Wet Seal, where each same-store sales fell about 12%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
A Senate vote is likely later today to add $2 billion to Cash for Clunkers. That's the program that gives cash incentives to consumers for trading up to more fuel-efficient cars. Almost all of the initial money, $1 billion, has been spent, and the program could be out of cash by tomorrow. The added funds would probably drive it through Labor Day. Economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now to gauge what Cash for Clunkers is doing for this recession. He joins us right now to talk about, from a consumer level, its effect on the economy. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So this program's been pretty popular, we know. What are its pitfalls?
Oh, there are several pitfalls. Here's what does concern me. The consumer is taking on debt in order to do this transfer. So you drive your clunker up there, and you take it into the dealership, and you get your $3,500 or your $4,500, and you get to buy a new car.
Right.
Now, most of us don't have the money to pay cash for that new car. So you're taking on some consumer debt. That, to me, is one of the pitfalls out of this program.
What kind of timing was this, Chris? Should the government have put forward this program sooner, maybe saving the auto industry from this terrific car slump?
Yes. If it hit earlier, it would probably be good. But you could argue it a different way, Steve.
Okay.
Economy's bottoming out. Now the economy's getting a kick. That gives a little boost to confidence, and that gives an extra boost to the economy.
Speaking of boosts, who else gets a boost in this Cars for Clunkers campaign?
Well, I think there's a couple things. You know, it's really not that much money, right? I mean, in this huge economy that we're in. So manufacturers are going to get a little bit of bump because the manufacturing sector has been so decimated. I expect that's where we're going to see the real rebound in some hiring and some activity, just because they've cut so far that even this program is really helping out, at least the auto industry. It's going to clear out the 2009 cars, set up the season for the 2010 cars. So that part of the economy is going to get a little bit of a boost.
All right. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell joining us. We're going to hear you on Marketplace Money, too, right?
Yes, you are. And we'll be talking about our personal finances.
All right. Chris Farrell, thanks.
Thanks.
Finally, authorities in eastern India are distributing small transistor radios to those among the lower caste Dalits to improve their lives. Government officials say the radios will provide the people with some entertainment after a hard day's work and help them become aware of what's going on in the world. But of course, we all know how important the medium of radio is, right? In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for tuning in this morning. We do appreciate it, and have a great Thursday.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.